We are ready for lesson 14. This is a continuation from Sunday's lesson about Jephthah, problems that he ran into when he got home. We'll look over some of that this afternoon. Who can tell me first part of the Jephthah story? Son of a harlot. Very good. What else? I know here it covers more than this. Cast out by his brethren. Okay. He gathered a group of men to... What else? Okay. Ammonites came against Israel and they wanted Jephthah to lead them. Did he have a problem with that? Yeah, he kind of had a little fuss with them about that. Not exactly happy. But there was a reason for that. What that reason was. Bit of job you're doing, Eric.
The reason why they came to him.
He was a mighty man of valor. That's true. There's another little section in there we need to remember. Okay. That's right. He'd already been doing some raids and was successful. Had they gone to him prior to this? See, one or two heads going this way. Yeah. And basically, they decided not to use him, whatever. But this time, he kind of puts it to them, you know, okay, you know, you sure, you know, you want me this time, you know, basically. So he did go and he fought Ammonites and before he went, he did something. What was it? What did he do, Charles? You remember? Don't remember? He made a what? Had a vow, a rash vow. And we're going to talk about that vow tonight. But that vow was what? Anybody remember? Well, he would offer him a sacrifice, not necessarily just kill him, but okay. In a sense, you're right. Okay. And that's what we're going to get into tonight in this lesson. Beginning on page 87 in your book, excuse me. Jephthah returns home to Mizpah after the battle was over, and his daughter came out to meet him. Timbrels and dancing, and she was so elated that her dad was coming home, glad to see him, and she was his only child. Didn't have any other sons or daughters this time. And when Jephthah saw her coming to meet him, he rent his clothes because he knew that he had made a vow and it was going to involve her now. He told her that you have brought me very low. And knowing exactly what this vow was, he says, you have become one of those who trouble me. That was the statement he made to her. She understood what he was saying. Went on to say, I've opened my mouth and I can't go back on my word. I just can't, you know. A vow that he made was that severe. And his daughter replied, my father, you made a vow to Jehovah and, you know, you've got to keep it. Do to me as you have vowed. Whatever it is, then you have to abide by the vow that you made to Jehovah. Jehovah has taken vengeance for you upon the enemies, even the Ammonites. And that was exactly what he wanted. I mean, he wanted to overcome them. And he made a request. First, let me have this favor. And that was to let me and my companions go up into the mountains and bewail my virginity, now I and my companions. Don't get into that in a little bit. Jephthah told her to go with her companions for 2 months. So she did, and she returned after 2 months and said to her father, do with me as you have vowed. Did not know a man in her entire lifetime. We'll get into that too. It was a custom in Israel after this particular time to go out each year and praise the daughter of Jephthah. But one of the most debated questions in the Bible is whether Jephthah offered her his daughter as a burnt offering. No question, okay? And we're going to look at that. Whether he actually burned her as one would a burnt sacrifice or whatever. But more study, pros and cons of this particular situation can help maybe you in your mind determine the answer to this. So, one thing is your teaching. Don't get bogged down on this. And it can be easily done, you know, especially in a adult class, maybe more so than in a child's class. But just put the facts out and kind of go with that. And you may not need to go in. You may need to just skip part of this lesson as you're teaching little children, because it's going to be tough to get this across, probably. Now, we're going to look at those who actually believe that he offered his daughter as a burnt sacrifice. Text actually states that Jephthah vowed a vow, "Whoever meets me upon my victorious return from the Ammonites, I will offer him up for a burnt offering." Chapter 11:31. You got that, Charles? 11:31? Okay. When we think of whatsoever cometh, you don't necessarily think of a person. You think of a what? Maybe a dog or, you know, whatever it might be would come to meet him. Many of the texts in different translations actually says whoever comes and meets me. He knew that when he got home, this was going to be a very trying thing, because whoever came out, he was expecting someone, all right, to come and meet him, not his daughter. And maybe a servant, a good servant or something like that might come out, but that's not what happened. His daughter came out. Verse 39 goes on to say that he did. Verse 39, chapter 11, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly and lamented the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite." So, he did according to his vow. Okay? These words that are in the scripture are taken at face value. Can you see why? If they're taken at face value, indicates that he did offer his daughter as a bleeding sacrifice. Just off the top of your head, what comes to mind along this line as you think about him out offering her as a sacrifice? What? Samuel? Well, yeah, he was a dedicated, all right, but he wasn't offered as a burnt sacrifice. Excuse me. Who's somebody? Abraham and Isaac. Okay, he was gonna slay him. What else do you think about? Okay, and we're fixing to get into that. It's exactly right. It was an abomination to God for children or anyone else to be offered as a sacrifice. Who was the God that they did that to a lot of times? Molech, okay? Molech was one of the main ones. They would offer their sons and daughters and what have you to that. That's part of it. Yeah, their gods that they worshipped, and that was part of their worship to Molech and ones like that, was to offer human sacrifices. And yes, that was an abomination to God, and he wiped those people out, wanted those people out from the very beginning. You know, he told Israel, you get these people out. And had they done all of this, they might not have run into some of these problems. But a literal meaning of Jephthah's vow is whoever, I mentioned that earlier, comes out to meet me, not whatever comes out. Whoever comes from my door of my house will be offered. Jephthah must have been thinking of some person who would be coming out to meet him. He just wasn't thinking that his daughter was going to come. Okay, let's look at Leviticus 27. There's some has to do with some of the sacrifices. We need to look at that. Leviticus 27. Let's begin in verse 36. 26. Only the firstlings of the beast, which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. And if it be an unclean beast, then it shall be redeemed according to thine estimation, and shalt add a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, of a field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy to the Lord. None devoted, which shall be devoted of men, shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. Okay? That kind of throws another little kink in the thing, doesn't it? If it's devoted, then it is to be put to death. It goes on to talk about tithes and those other things that can be done. But this particular thing, that this vow, it was a most holy thing unto Jehovah. We think of cities that were taken that were most holy, like Jericho. What was so unusual about that city? All right. Everything in that city was to be given to the Lord. Of course, that didn't particularly happen, but that's what was supposed to have happened, if you remember, everything. And then the city was to be burned. Everything that was of value, taken out, given to the Lord, and then the city was to be done away with. It's because it was holy unto Jehovah. This particular thing cannot be ransomed. These vows that, Jephthah made, he could not. Now, there were some that you could pay so much, you estimated value plus one fifth. You could redeem that particular thing. One he made, you couldn't do that. Okay, it was that specific. Jephthah was very specific in his vow, and so that one could not be changed. But he would offer a burnt offering that it's listed. Burnt offerings were totally burned. If you remember when they done sacrifices, the only thing that did not burn was the skin or the hide of the animal. Everything else totally burned up. That was a burnt offering to the Lord. This signifies total dedication. Let's look at Exodus 29, verse 18. You got that, Brent? Okay, this offering was made, but it was a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. I don't know if you smelt animals being burned or not. Smelt humans being burnt. Not a fun thing. I was at a car crash when I lived at the fire department, and a person burned up. That smell does not leave you. Either do you sleep, but it's just not a sweet smell to human. But it was to God. For what reason? Why would the burnt offering be a sweet smell to him? Was it the aroma he liked? No, it wasn't. Yeah, it was. It was doing exactly what he wanted them to do. Right? And they were obeying what he said to do along this line. When Hannah had vowed her vow to give her son, and her son's name was Samuel, okay, she worded her vow that would be a Nazarite vow. Okay? And he would be dedicated to God for a period of time, which was actually for his entire life. But it wasn't a burnt offering. Okay? But he was dedicated. And the same thing goes with Samson. He was dedicated same way. Jephthah's vow was different because nothing lived through a burnt offering. Jephthah lived in a time when idolatrous worship around him, which offered human sacrifices to gods like Molech. We find that in Leviticus 18 and also in Leviticus 20. Find that kind of thing happening. And it was an abomination to God. He hated that. Why would he not like that? What do we know about the human? Made in His image. Very good. We know that the blood is the life blood. And God didn't want to see those kind of things happen to someone He created. That was totally against anything that He wanted to happen. And yet, those kind of things happen in idolatrous worship. Human sacrifices would not actually be a shock to Jephthah during those particular times because he had heard of it. To us today, it'd be a shock. I mean, we would just think that would be the ultimate. Now, there are some who deny that Jephthah's offering her as a burnt offering. Let's look at that. Human sacrifices were an abomination to Jehovah. And we find that in Leviticus 18:21. Let's look at that. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. In chapter 20, verse 2 through 5, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever be of the children of Israel or a stranger that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed to Molech, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. If the people of the land do any way hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. So you can kind of see just a hint of things, how God really felt about this, and that whoever did it, I mean, they were going to die. That was God's order. There's no rebuke from God yet about making this vow. If he was going to burn his daughter, would that not be an abomination to God? But we don't see that. We actually see instead of a rebuke, his name is listed in Hebrews 11 as one of the faithful. So whatever Jephthah did is in accord with what God was okay with. Okay? God stopped Abraham from offering his son. During the days of the wicked kings such as Ahaz and Manasseh, they offered their sons as sacrifices to false gods. We find that 2 Kings 16 and verse 3. God feel about that? He didn't like it. They were not right in God's sight in doing these kind of things. These actions hastened the destruction of the kingdom of Judah. If Jephthah did offer his daughter as a sacrifice, there were some details pertaining to the law that were actually broken as well. Let's look at some of them. According to the law, the sacrifices, including the burnt offerings, were to be offered at the sanctuary. Find that in Deuteronomy 12, 6, 11, 13, and 14. The law was strictly observed unless a special occasion was commanded by God. If he offered her, it would be a direct violation of the commandment God had given about it being abomination. Unless he carried her to the priest for the priest to offer, then it would be a violation for him to offer her as well. They weren't allowed to offer an offering, burnt offering or any kind of offering, as far as that goes. Know somebody who did that. Who was it? Saul. Very good. And what was his punishment? You remember? He lost the kingdom. Exactly right. He was cut off. His family was cut off from being in the kingdom, kingship after that. If it being the case the priests were involved in this sacrifice, then they could have been an abomination to Jehovah as well. So that kind of, there's several things that kind of plays in right here of possibilities, you know, to think about during this. Burnt offerings could only be a male. Find that in Leviticus, the first chapter. Females could not be offered as sacrifices. So, are we to conclude that Jephthah could offer a human sacrifice, an abomination to the Lord, that he could offer it in an unscriptural place? Would he ignore the restrictions that it be a male? Jephthah was a very religious man. Let's look at Judges 11, verse 10. 11. You got that, Charles?
Boudreaux?
You got it? Judges 11, 10 and 11. Okay? So we find that he did everything according to the word of God. You know, I mean, we do not according to thy word, then the Lord witness between us. And there are some other passages there that deal with Jephthah's, what kind of person he was. He was a religious person. He had not shown himself to be a rash conduct in any way up to this point. And yet we consider the vow that he made a rash vow. Okay? Don't know that it's actually listed as a rash vow. He declared that Jehovah had given Israel the disputed land. What's the disputed land we're talking about there? Remember? We talked about that, didn't we? What was it? See if anybody remembers. What was that disputed land? West side? What part?
East side.
East side. Okay, thank you. Thanks for clearing that up. East side? Whereabouts over there? What Hammond had. Okay, very good. And what was their beef about it? They said that who had taken it? Israelites had taken it. But they didn't take it. That's right. Exactly right. Who had taken it? You remember? Sihon. Very good. All right. Sihon had taken it, and then they captured and killed Sihon, so they assumed that land at that point. That's what he was talking about. All right. He asked for help in defeating the enemy. He was not given over to idolatrous practices, nor the practice of a human sacrifice at all. He wasn't given into that kind of thing. Others had been totally dedicated to God, like Samson, Judges 13, 4 through 5. They know that his life was dedicated. He's also one of those that's listed over in Hebrews 11 as the one of faith. Samuel, 1 Samuel 1:11, he was also dedicated to God. And John the Baptist was also one. These were men who had Nazarite vows, different from what Jephthah had got into. These are all Nazarite vows. There were women who were at the door of the tent of meeting. We find in 1 Samuel, the second chapter. Anna in the New Testament was also one who was dedicated. Jephthah's daughter was not the only one who was a participant in a vow of dedication. But this is something that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament, to commemorate this event. And therefore, it must have been proper to remember this particular occasion. It was not proper, can't see God allowing them or permitting that to go on without some kind of reprimand from a priest or somebody to tell them you can't do that. So if it was an abomination to God, like a human sacrifice, can't see them commemorating that and God being okay with it. This is just a scenario to think about now. Total dedication of a person to the service of Jehovah would be commended. Total dedication, okay? The family would also be honored in this kind of situation. A person who's totally dedicated. Samuel was, Samson the other ones. Vows were voluntary, free will sacrifices to God. They didn't have to do it. One could vow to give an animal, a field, a house, a possession, we read that a while ago, or a person to the Lord. Each type of vow had specific rules and regulations to go along with it when you vowed that to the Lord. If it were a clean animal, then it could be sacrificed. If it was an unclean animal, they could use it for like work around the tabernacle, or money could be paid according to its value. We found that in Leviticus 27 a while ago when Charles read that. If it were property that had been vowed, then it would become either permanent inheritance of the Levites Or you could put an assessed value on it plus one-fifth, and the owner could pay that and retain the property, that particular type vow. If it was a person, then that person either served in some kind of capacity for the tabernacle or appointed price was paid as a gift to the Lord and was set forth. We saw that in Leviticus 27th chapter as well, earlier in that chapter. Vowing a person was not an unheard of thing to the Lord. It was common. The rules were given in the law for handling of such vows. Vows were made with a specific person or thing to be dedicated usually. The item would be given in, if feasible, otherwise an assigned value was paid. The law made provisions for a rash vow even. We kind of consider this one that Jephthah made as a rash vow. However, if a man made a rash vow and he realized he could not keep it, he was commanded to offer a sacrifice for his sin of vowing rashly. Jephthah couldn't do that. He could not complete the vow he made according to Leviticus. He couldn't offer a sacrifice to do away with what he had vowed. Certain things could not be vowed. Okay? Anything that was devoted to God already could not be vowed. Things like the firstborn animal could not be vowed. It would belong to Jehovah already, if you remember. Firstling of the flock. Find that in Leviticus 27 as well. Tithes is another thing that could not be vowed. It already belongs to Jehovah. The spoils from a dedicated city, we talked about that earlier. A person guilty of a crime or idolatry was devoted to God for destruction, and he couldn't be vowed. There are so many things connected with vows that we need to look at. Notwithstanding no devoted thing that a man shall devote to the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, the field of his possession shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy to the Lord. None devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. So, paying a specific amount of money to fulfill his vow, offering specific sacrifices to pay the penalty for making a rash vow, would seem the simple way out for Jephthah. If he could do that, why not just pay that, offer a sacrifice, and that would take care of it. He wouldn't have to offer his daughter. Right? Nope. I'm still there? Yeah, you would think that would be the case. I mean, that was an option for if you made a rash vow. Well, Jephthah couldn't do that. There was a simple solution. Why was he so terribly upset, when he got to the house? I mean, I'm just offering a sacrifice. Rash vow. Yes. Yes. Yeah. He could keep. That's right. Come here. I think so too. Yeah. I don't think it was actually a rash vow. I think he knew what he was doing when he did it. I think he made he knew there was going to be a real sacrifice here. Yes. Right. He knew it was going to be human being. That's right. His daughter would be totally dedicated to God. Now that's what this view goes on to say. The vow was whoever came out would be offered to God as an olab, which in the Old Testament is usually a burnt offering, but can also mean totally dedicated to God. Got that out of Bob's book. I don't know about Greek or Hebrew or nothing else as far as that goes. But whether that you can do some more studying on that if you want to, but it's O-L-A-B, olab. Okay, that may be right. I really didn't check that. It may be one that refers to Jericho. That may be right. here are some different translations of what was actually written. Young's literal translation says, "Which at all cometh out of the doors of the house to meet me, turning back in peace from Ben-Ammon, it hath been Jehovah, or I have offered it up, a burnt offering." New Revised Standard says, then whoever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return victorious be offered by me as a burnt offering. The Living Bible, meanwhile, Jephthah had vowed to the Lord that he would, that if God would help Israel conquer the Ammonites, then when he returned home in peace, the first person coming out of the house to meet him would be sacrificed as a burnt offering. And in the New Living Translation, says that I will give to the Lord the first thing coming out of my house to greet me when I return in triumph and sacrifice as a burnt offering. There's several translations there. I thought it was interesting for you to be able to see. The dedicated thing could have been a servant, a family member. He intended the sacrifice to be a costly one because the favor that he asked was great. A very great favor he was asking of God. But when his daughter came out, he knew that she would be totally dedicated, sacrificed, whatever, you know, to God. She would remain a virgin, as we read in the scripture. She'd never marry. She would never lead a normal life, total service to God. This could be celebrated, whereas it would be difficult to celebrate a human sacrifice. This was Jephthah's only child. He would have no other descendants, and the lineage of Jephthah would actually be lost. Particular thing. Come on. Okay.
To me, our that it didn't always specifically say, offer your children sacrifice to the Lord.
Point, yeah.
And right. The concept of has to be kept.
Right. And that's a good thing to bring out that you know, if you make a promise, then you must keep it. And teach that to the children in the classes. It's fine.
And if you promise them,
yeah. Well,
what Jephthah would have done,
yeah.
He would have promised he would have seen.
Okay, the men of Ephraim, we'll go over this kind of quickly. Ephraim heard that the war against Ammon, and they went to Jephthah, and they asked, why didn't you call us? You know, they said, we're going to come burn your house down. Because you didn't call us to go to war. Jephthah called the men of Gilead together, and they fought the Ephraimites, and the band of nobodies who the Ephraim thought Jephthah was, and his men, they began to run them back across the Jordan. And Jephthah's men were waiting at the fords of the Jordan. And as these men would come up and try to cross, they would be asked if they were Ephraimites. And they would be required to say Shibboleth. Those from Ephraim couldn't pronounce it. They couldn't pronounce the H. So they would say Sibboleth. 42,000 men of Ephraim fell. Jephthah judged Israel for 6 years. And he was included as the man of faith in Hebrews 11:32. I throwed some pictures at the end. I didn't know if we had time. The Sea of Galilee is out there. And this is the Jordan River going across. This is what the Jordan looked like as it winds up through. You can see the steep hills. That's why there were just certain fords that you'd have to go to be able to cross it. You can see how rough and swift it was. See what a steep embankment on both sides goes down. And it was that way a lot of the way up and down the Jordan. Places, and this is just the hill country east of Jerusalem that I throw it in there. Okay. Thanks for your comments. See you, Lord willing, on the Lord's Day.